But we are beginning in chapter 1, Acts chapter 1. We will read the first 14 verses. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, we want what is said of these men and women to be true of us. We want to be a people known at Olney Baptist Church as a people who devote themselves to prayer. Father, we as individuals would love to be known as those who devote themselves to prayer. We pray that the children growing up would know their parents as parents who are devoting themselves to prayer. May I be known as a pastor who devotes himself to prayer. Father, we pray that you would do a work in our hearts and move us to be a praying people and not as ones who have to be chided or arms twisted, but Lord, that you would make this our delight, that it would be our joy to get away and spend time with you in prayer. And so God, work in us by your Spirit and do this, we pray, and do beyond what we could ever dream or imagine. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Kent Hughes writes that according to a Christianity Today survey, that's a Christian magazine, today's average pastor spends only 3 minutes a day in prayer. And then he contrasts this with the journal entries of a pastor from long ago named Andrew Bonar, who wrote, "I see that unless I keep up short prayer every day throughout the whole day at intervals, I lose the spirit of prayer. Too much work without corresponding prayer. Today, setting myself to pray, the Lord forthwith seems to send a dew upon my soul. Was enabled to spend part of Thursday in my church praying. Have had great help in study since then. Passed 6 hours today in prayer and scripture reading, confessing sin and seeking blessing for myself and the parish." We long not to be like those Minutemen who pray for 3 minutes a day and hear testimonies of men like Andrew Bonar that spur us on to want to be people of prayer. We pray because we trust and love God. We ought to pray because we trust and love God, because we realize that apart from Him, we can do nothing. And we pray because we want to see God act. We want to see God show up and act for His glory. And I emphasize the spiritual disciplines every year. And so 2 weeks ago, we did the Word of God. And today we're doing prayer, and I emphasize these spiritual disciplines of reading the Word of God in prayer each year, not to make you feel guilty, not to make you feel condemned, but for your good, for your joy. And so, you know, a parent doesn't have to convince a child that they need to eat more ice cream. Right? I want you to eat more ice cream, and this is why. I want you to eat more chocolate, little Johnny. And this is why. Your parents don't have to guilt trip their children into doing things like that, because the child already has a desire for that, a love for that. You don't have to tell them. They love it. They have a desire. And so my prayer is that more and more you and I, it won't be a guilt trip, because it's just what you desire to do. And God has to give that. And so we're utterly dependent upon God to show up and work in our hearts that we might desire the Word of God in prayer. And so pray. I mean, be praying during the sermon. Be praying for your own soul that God would give you this desire and see these disciplines as a joy and a delight. We think about this at least yearly, because this is good for you and it's good for me. And so again, like we did in the book of Acts for the Word of God and did a survey of the whole book, and what the book says, what we learn from the early church about the Word of God, we're going to do the same thing in the book of Acts with prayer. What do we see in the book of Acts as pertains to prayer? Point number one, prayer comes first. Prayer comes first. Prayer is the first thing that the Word of God tells us the disciples of Jesus Christ did after they returned to Jerusalem, having just seen Jesus Christ return to His Father. That's amazing. The first thing we see the apostles and followers of Jesus do after Jesus is taken up and they return back to Jerusalem is pray. First thing they do is give themselves to prayer. Acts 1:14. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and His brothers. Prayer comes first. Prayer comes first. Does prayer come first in your life? Does prayer come first in your life? Do you pray before you make plans? Do you pray before you act? Do you pray before you start your day? Do we pray? I am guilty of this often when I face a problem. If I'm facing a pastoral problem, immediately I've got to call this pastor. I've got to call this guy and get his advice on this. I've got to get his counsel. And I don't fall on my face first and pray. Prayer should come first. Amen. God has all wisdom. He has all knowledge. He has all power. Prayer comes first. Point number two, everyone prays. Acts 1:14 again. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. Everyone was praying. Not just the pastor, not just the apostles, not just the men, not just the women, all of them were gathered together praying. Everyone prays. If you're born again, you're going to pray. Everyone prays. Do you, Christian, plan to pray? If you don't plan to do it, it will not happen. Do you plan to pray? We pray that more and more, and God is answering our prayers, that people would come to seek His face on Wednesday night together. Do you pray through the directory members? We give out that directory so that you will pray systematically, that you have that you have your Bible and that prayer directory next to your bed, so to speak, and you're praying for members of this church regularly. Do you plan to pray? When we're praying here as a church, when we have the pastoral prayer or the prayer of confession, are you praying? I have to fight to pray and not be distracted. But that's corporate prayer where we're praying together. Everyone prays. Do you pray? Point number three, everyone prays in agreement. Acts 1:14, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. With one accord. They were in agreement. They were on the same page. They had unity concerning what they were praying for and what they were praying about. How do we do that? We know God's word and we pray God's word. We know God's word and we allow the word of God to shape our prayers and to shape what we pray for. And then we will pray in agreement and one accord. That is one of the attempts of this little pastor's report that you have inserted in your bulletin that I gave at our last members' meeting, giving you five topics to pray for. Please pray. So we're going to pray in one accord for these 5 points. Please pray that we would pursue God in His Word and in prayer. Please pray, members of Awnee Baptist Church, that we would seek deep relationships with one another and help one another grow in Christ. Please pray, number three, that we would seek to win others to Christ and evangelize the lost and see sinners converted. Number four, please pray that we would attend church on Sundays, Bible study and prayer meeting on Wednesdays, and members' meetings. Number five, please pray that we would faithfully give financially to support the work of the ministry. We want to pray in one accord for those matters and pursue our God in prayer. Everyone prays in agreement. Everyone, point number four, devotes themselves to prayer. Look again at Acts 1:14. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. One commentator, Daryl Bach, writes that the Greek language communicates, when it says devoting themselves, it communicates that they persevered in prayer together. They kept praying together. They did not stop praying. As Brother Ted read our call to worship from Luke 18:1, and he, Jesus, told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. They devoted themselves to prayer and they wouldn't stop praying. Some of you may be praying for something. You may have been praying for this for decades, multiple years, and you wonder, should I keep praying? Yes, keep praying. Devote yourselves to prayer like the early church. Keep praying. They devoted themselves to prayer. This is the description we have of the early church. Point number five, God guided the early church through prayer. God guided the early church through prayer. Look at Acts 1, verses 23 through 26. And in this portion of Scripture, the apostles were needing to choose another apostle to take Judas's place. And what did they do to figure it out? Let's read Acts 1, 23 through 26. And they put forward two, Joseph and Barsabbas, who was also called Justus and Matthias. And they prayed They prayed. They didn't make such a decision without praying first. They prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry." They prayed. God uses prayer to guide his people. When Peter came to the realization that this gospel is not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles and all peoples, he realized this while he was praying. Acts 11:5, "I was in the city of Joppa praying." And 10:34 through 35, "So Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him.'" When did Peter figure that out? While he was praying. God guides his people as they're praying and seeking his face. Number six, the church that resulted from Peter's Pentecost preaching perpetually pursued prayer. The church that resulted from Peter's Pentecost preaching perpetually pursued prayer. Acts 2:36 through 42. We start off with a little bit of Peter's sermon. "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers." Peter preaches the gospel, calls people to repent, 3,000 people get saved, and what do they devote themselves to? Prayer. They devote themselves to other things, yes, but prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. Number seven. God's people have always been a praying people. God's people have always been a praying people. Acts 3:1. "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer." There was an hour of prayer in the temple. God's people have always been a praying people. We saw this last year when we look at Genesis 4, verses 25 and 26. "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, 'God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him.' To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord." All the way back in Genesis, with Adam and Eve, God's people are calling on the name of the Lord. God's people have always been a praying people. Number eight, the disciples praised God in prayer. They prayed the Bible. They prayed about their problems and they prayed for power to preach. Look at Acts 4, verses 23 through 31. Acts 4, verses 23 through 31, the disciples praised God in prayer. They prayed the Bible. They prayed about their problems and they prayed for power to preach. Acts 4, beginning in verse 23, "When they were released from prison, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, 'Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them.'" You know, see, they began their prayer with praising God, not just asking for stuff. I love the ACTS for prayer. A, adoration. Just spend time praising God. Have you ever spent time in prayer where you never got to asking for anything? You just praised Him. You just praised Him for who He is and what He's done. And sing to His name. Take up a hymnal and sing praises to God. They begin by praising Sovereign Lord who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage? They prayed the Bible. There they are praying a psalm. They're praying God's word. Why do I give books away that urge you to pray God's word? Because the early church prayed God's word. They use the Bible to guide and inform their prayers. And he's quoting Psalm 2. Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. They'd just gotten out of prison and these kings of the earth are persecuting them. And they go on, for truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats. They prayed about their problems. They're being threatened by the authorities. They're being threatened by those in power. They're being oppressed by rulers, and they take their problems before the Lord. And now, Lord, look upon their threats. They prayed about their problems. God wants you to come and pray about your problems. Lay your fears and your worries before Him. Be honest with Him. As one pastor says, tell Him what He already knows. They prayed about their problems, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue. I love this. What did they pray for? Grant that your servants continue to speak your word with boldness. Help us continue to preach the gospel. Help us to continue to proclaim your word with boldness, O Lord, even though we might be persecuted for your name. They prayed for power to preach, to evangelize, to spread the message. We ought to pray these kinds of prayers, that God would make us bold, that God would give us opportunities to speak to unbelievers, that God would orchestrate gospel opportunities with our mailman or mail lady, that He would orchestrate gospel opportunities with the people we meet in our everyday lives, that He would give me today gospel opportunities to speak of Jesus. And He will. He will. Wednesday night we prayed for this. We prayed, God, give us opportunities. Let us see converts. And I get a phone call from someone who attends our church on Friday, just giddy and excited and so happy. I've got good news. There's a Muslim that I go to school with, and she asked me what I believe about God, and I was able to tell her the gospel. I told her the gospel question, and I told her about Jesus. God answers prayers like that. You want to be an evangelist? Ask God to give you opportunities. And then look for them. Pray. Praise God in prayer. Pray the Bible. Pray the Bible. Open up Psalm 23 and pray Psalm 23. Lord, you are my shepherd. Therefore, I know that I need nothing. Lord, show me what a good shepherd you are. Show me that I lack no good thing. Lord, lead me in paths of righteousness. Keep me from sin. Help me to be holy. Lord, pursue me, Lord, with goodness and mercy all my days, God. Help me to know that you're doing that. No matter what trials I face, what hardships I face, God, help me know that you are pursuing me with goodness and mercy because I am your child. Pray Psalm 23. Pray Psalm 100. Pray the Bible. They prayed the Bible. Pray about your problems. Be honest with God about how you feel and your struggles. Lord, Lord, I'm hearing this sermon about prayer, and prayer is boring. I can't pray. I don't know how. I'm ashamed. I don't come Wednesday night because I know they pray out loud, and I'm ashamed. I care so much about what people think. Lord, deliver me. Teach me to pray, Lord. Help me. Pray about your problems. Pray for the power to speak the word of God. That's what the early church did. Number 9, pray. Prayer is more important than feeding the hungry. Prayer is more important than feeding the hungry. Again, we saw this situation 2 weeks ago in Acts chapter 6 where people are being neglected in the church. They're not being fed. There's division going on. And so the apostles had to appoint some people to take care of that problem. But they said, we must give ourselves to the word of God in prayer. Acts chapter 6 verse 4. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. We can't stop doing this. I must give myself to prayer and the ministry of the Word. That is my calling. I can't let myself be distracted with feeding the poor. The apostles said, as important as that is, feeding widows who are the most helpless in society. No, I can't give myself to that. I must give myself to prayer. To prayer. Prayer is more important than feeding the hungry. And they did feed the hungry. They took care of that. They appointed people. They delegated so that that was taken care of. But they must devote themselves to prayer and the Word of God. Number 10, leaders in the church and missionaries need your prayers. I need your prayers. Acts 6, verse 6, after they had appointed these men to take care of this problem, it says, "These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them." They committed them to the Lord in prayer. Acts 13, 2 through 3, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Missionaries need prayer. They're sent off, bathed in prayer. And elders need your prayers. Michael Osborne and Michael Todd and Daniel, Derek is his brother. Daniel Scudder needs your prayers. Acts 14, 23, "And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed." Do you pray for your church leaders? We covet your prayers. We need your prayers. The early church prayed for church leaders and missionaries. Number 11, the early church fasted and prayed. You just noticed that in the verses I read. What is fasting? Fasting is refraining from food for a season in order to pursue the Lord in a more focused and undistracted way. And I want fasting to be woven into the life of our church, and that's why we have Wednesday fast and pray. Where did that come from? It came from a former church I was a part of, and they did first Tuesday fasts, where they would fast for the Lord's return. And every first Tuesday of the month, they would commit to skip lunch on that day and pray during the time they would normally eat lunch. And so I just want that built into the DNA of our church, that we fast on Wednesday, at least the noon meal. Feel free to do more, but skip lunch on that Wednesday, every Wednesday, and pursue the Lord in prayer. And that's on the other side of this handout. Wednesday fast and pray. There are 8 specific things to pray and fast for. Pray that our triune God would be our all in all, that He would be everything to us, that we would make disciples of all nations. Pray for the salvation of the unreached peoples, those who've never heard the gospel. We want them to be saved. Pray for the poorest of the poor in the world. Pray for the persecuted Christians in the world. Pray that God would stop the unborn from being killed. Pray for racial and ethnic harmony in the church. Pray, and in the world, pray that God would end slavery around the world. And finally, number 8, pray that Jesus would come back. Jesus said He is coming back for who? For those who hope He doesn't come back for 10 more years? No, He's coming back for those who are eagerly desiring Him to appear. Who are eagerly waiting for Him. Come, Lord Jesus. We want to pray for the Lord's return. And so we see that while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, that they were praying. They appointed elders, and with prayer and fasting they committed them to the Lord. If you don't ever fast, I would encourage you to consider skipping lunch on Wednesday and seeking the Lord in prayer. If you have something that you're overwhelmed by in your life, something that you can't get a breakthrough on, something that has troubled you for years, have you fasted about it yet? Have you skipped food and felt your belly growl and feel that pain and then say, "Lord, You're better. You're better than my necessary food. And I want you this much, Lord. That's why we fast. We're saying, God, you're better than food. My belly is not my God. You're my God. And we do without food and we go hard after God in prayer and we beg him for what we need. Have you done that? Have you considered that? The early church fasted and prayed. Number 12, the Holy Spirit works in response to our prayers. The Holy Spirit works in response to our prayers. Acts 8, verses 14 and 15 and 17. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And verse 17, then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. They prayed and they received the Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in response to our prayers. Now, some could misunderstand this and think that by our praying, we actually change God's mind and get him to do what he wasn't going to do, but now we've prayed about it and so he's going to do what we wanted to do. That's not prayer. That's not biblical prayer. God knows what he's going to do. He's already determined what he's going to do. He's ordained the end from the beginning. But guess what? He has chosen to use our prayers as a means to carry out his determined end. He uses our prayers as means to carry out his determined end. So we ought to pray. We ought to pray. Our prayers are the means God uses. And so the Holy Spirit works in response to our prayers, which the Holy Spirit has already ordained would take place. So pray. This ought to encourage you to pray. Sometimes people say, if God is sovereign, why pray? I and others have said this before me. If God is not sovereign, why should we pray? If God is this poor, weak, little God that is just up there in heaven hoping we will do the right thing by our free will, then why do you pray to a God like that? That's not a God worthy of worship. My God owns the world. He can turn my will like a water course wherever he pleases. He is sovereign. I pray that he would save sinners, that he would raise the dead. I pray that he would heal and glorify his name. He's God. He's sovereign. He can do what he pleases. And therefore, we pray. We pray. Number 13, salvation and forgiveness come when sinners pray to God for mercy. Salvation and forgiveness come when sinners pray to God for mercy. Acts 22:16. Ananias says to Paul, "Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." Calling on God's name. That is how sinners are saved, calling on his name. Salvation and forgiveness come when sinners pray to God for mercy. And we don't lead people in sinners' prayers here. You know, if I wanted to maybe feel better about myself, at the end of this service, I would say something like, is there anyone here who's never received Christ as your Savior? Go ahead, everybody put your hand, I'm not saying do this, but put your heads down, shut your eyes, and if you have not received Jesus as your Savior and you'd like to, then I want you to raise your hand. Okay, all those people who raised your hand, repeat this after me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've broken your commandments. I believe that you died on the cross and rose from the dead, and I accept you into my life now. Okay, everybody, open your eyes. All you people who raised your hands, you've just been saved. We don't do that here. And I can point you to people who you can talk to them who did that and then lived for 10 years and didn't know God, but were assured by a pastor that they did, and that pastor helped make them twice the son of hell than they were before. If I preach the word of God, you don't see that in the New Testament. Show me in the book of Acts where the apostles led somebody in the sinner's prayer. I'll start doing it. You show me in the word, I'll start doing it. What did they do? You notice what happened when Peter preached the gospel? They were cut to their heart. And they said, what shall we do? And he said, repent. You see, when you preach the word of God and the Holy Spirit works, people know how to pray to God. Lord, I am a sinner. I've offended you. I deserve hell. Oh God, save me. You will call on the name of the Lord. I don't need to lead you in a prayer. You will cry out to God on your own and beg for mercy. Friend, have you done that? Have you done that? In a crowd this large, there's certainly some who have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved. Friend, do you know yourself to be a sinner? That you have offended a holy and a good God, that you have broken His commandments, that you've sinned against Him in numerous ways, in thoughts and words and deeds, by what you have done and what you have failed to do. And you deserve His wrath. You deserve hell. You've neglected Him in prayer. You've neglected to do the very things that we're talking about, and His wrath abides upon you. And if you die, He will send you to hell forever, and there will be no mercy. And there will be no release from that prison of hell. But praise God, He loves sinners. He loves you. He loves sinners. He loves people who have neglected Him. He loves people who have rebelled against Him. He loves sinners. And so He sent His Son, His one and only Son, His Son whom He loved. He sent His Son who is both God and man. And Jesus lived that perfect life that we should have lived. And He came loving and doing miracles and raising the dead and healing and preaching the Word and praying as we should pray. And then He died. He died on that Roman cross where He bore the justice of God, the judgment, the curse, the wrath, the anger of God that we deserve for our sins. Jesus took that upon Himself and was crushed and died and was buried. And then 3 days later, He rose from the dead. He conquered sin and death and hell. That's why we're here today and not yesterday. Because He conquered the grave and He's alive. And He will save you if you call on His name now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And if you would like to talk to someone about that, I would love to meet with you in the back and talk to you about that. I sometimes speak a little strongly when I preach. And I have actually led people, helped lead people in a prayer when they don't know exactly what to say. So I overstated myself a little bit before. But my point is, when someone is convicted by the Holy Spirit, that they don't have to be told rote words. They have a heart for God. They want God. They know their sin. They weep over their sin and they cry out to God for mercy. And when you do that, God saves sinners. Romans 10, 9 and 13. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Friend, if you're here today and you don't know Him, would you call on Him today? Would you call on the Lord? He can save you right where you are. You don't even have to come forward after we play "Just As I Am" 10 times. He is so powerful, He can save you right there in the pew if you call on His name. Number 14, baby Christians pray. Baby Christians do. Sorry. Baby Christians pray. Acts 9:11. And the Lord said to him, to Ananias, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying." When Paul was converted to Christ, what was he doing? What was he immediately doing? He was praying. Baby Christians pray. It's like babies need milk. Babies cry. That's the prayer is the cry of a new Christian. Baby Christians pray immediately after he was converted. What is he doing? He was blind. Remember, Paul was blind and he hadn't eaten or drunk anything for 3 days. But Ananias was told, "You'll find him praying. You'll find him praying." He was seeking the Lord. Baby Christians pray. And friend, this is an application that I should make, and I don't make this to make people who have a sensitive conscience feel guilty. But some of you may not pray because you're not Christians. I would be wrong to not mention that. Some of you may not pray because you're not born again. And so pray, Lord, cause me to be born again. Baby Christians pray. They have a desire to spend time with God in prayer.
Yes, Lord.
Baby Christians pray. 15, Christians in the early church were named after prayer. Christians in the early church were so known by their praying. That's what they called them. Acts 9, 13 through 14. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. He's talking about Paul. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind who? All who call on your name. How are the Christians were known by this? They were known as being those who call on God's name. Christians in the early church were named after prayer. Number 16, the early church did mighty miraculous works through prayer. The early church did mighty miraculous works through prayer. Acts 9:40. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. God used Peter to raise this dead girl. The early church did mighty miraculous works through prayer. We pray for miracles. Did you know that? I hope you pray for miracles. I hope you still believe in miracles. I hope you still pray for miracles to happen.
Yes, yes, yes.
Do you know the most amazing miracle that ever happens in the world? People being born again. That is an amazing miracle. People being born again. People who are dead in sin and trespasses being raised to life to walk with Jesus. We pray for miracles. We pray for people to be healed. We pray for little baby Rose to be healed, to be totally healed. We pray for cancers to be healed. We pray for Joseph Jaskiewicz to be healed of cancer, and now there is no trace of cancer in his body. And they wanted to take so much blood out of him, he finally had to tell them to stop because they couldn't figure out how this happened. We pray for God to act, and we trust Him that whatever He does is good. Number 17, God hears the prayers of those who truly seek Him. God hears the prayers of those who truly seek Him. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God and with all his household, gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. This man prayed continually to God, and God meets him and says, Your prayers have risen up as a memorial, and I'm going to send you someone to tell you the gospel that you might believe. God hears the prayers of those who truly seek Him. Number 18, the early church broke chains through prayer. The early church broke chains through prayer. Acts 12, 5 through 7. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now when Herod was about to bring him out, on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, Get up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands. God used the prayers of His people, praying for Peter, to break chains and set him free. And He still uses the prayers of His people to break all manner of chains today. Number 19, the early church was always praying. Daryl Bach says in his commentary, Fernando notes that prayer is mentioned 31 times in Acts and in 20 of its 28 chapters. The early church was always praying. This characterized the early church. Acts 12:12. When he realized this, that God had freed him from prison. This is going back to Peter. When he realized that God had freed him from prison, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Acts 20:36-38. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Acts 21:5-6. And kneeling down on the beach, we prayed and said farewell to one another. Acts 22:17. When I, Paul, had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple. Acts 27:34-35. They were on this ship and they were in this great storm and fearful of shipwreck. And therefore, Paul says, I urge you to take some food. It will give you strength, for not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Why do we pray before we eat? I mean, do you think that's just some rote tradition that we just do it because we do it? No, we see it throughout Scripture. We see Jesus breaking bread and giving thanks to God before he feeds people. We see Paul here in the middle of this storm on a boat giving thanks to God and breaking bread and eating. Acts 28:8. It happened that the father of Publius, when they were on the island of Malta, they lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. The early church was always praying. Number 20, prayer was so important to the early church that they designed special places for prayer. Acts 16:13-16. And on the Sabbath day, he went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And verse 16, as we were going to the place of prayer. Prayer was so important that they had designated places of prayer. I wonder if you have a designated place of prayer. A designated place that you go, that you even sometimes have fond memories of remembering back and saying, Lord, we had so many good times together there. We had so many good times together out back of Westminster Seminary in that field. So many good times together, Lord. Just me and you. Do you have places? You know, that movie about prayer, that he has a whole room designated for prayer. This is my prayer closet. I have a whole room in my house. And when I'm there, no one bothers me. I'm in prayer. I think it was Charles Wesley, one of the Wesley moms. She had 13 children. She had 13 children. She was busy. 13 children. But her children all knew when mommy's apron was over her head, you don't mess with mommy, because mommy's praying to the triune God. Amen. She had a place of prayer. Friend, is prayer that important to you that you have a place that you love to go to get away? To get away and be alone. And finally, the early church prayed in the midst of persecution. Acts 16:22-26. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. They had inflicted upon Paul and Silas many blows. They were beaten. They were in prison. They may have thought that they're going to die here. And yet at midnight, they are praying and singing to God. I've just been beaten. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. I'm bleeding. Praise God. from whom all blessings flow. They're praying and singing hymns to God. And then, of course, God shows up and shakes the place, and they're all free. And the jailer man says, "What must I do to be saved?" And they respond, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." The early church prayed in the midst of persecution. All these points we learn from the early church in the book of Acts. And we know that we have much to grow in prayer. And I hope that you will realize that is part of what it means to be a Christian. That you don't want to be like you were yesterday. You want to grow. That I want to grow. We want to grow in our Bible. We want to grow in prayer. We don't want 2020 to be like 2019. We want to grow. Christians are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. We want to grow in prayer. That's the point of thinking about this with you today. We want to grow in prayer. Not to make you feel guilty or feel bad, but to encourage you to grow in prayer and to pursue God in prayer. And of course, we look to Jesus. We look again to Jesus Christ. Before we close, no one prayed like Jesus prayed. Hebrews 5:7 tells us, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. We see Jesus pray in Gethsemane 3 times. "Lord, if there's any other way, take this cup away." But he ended his prayer like we ought to end every prayer. "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. He prayed in Gethsemane, and we see him pray in John 17 for us. And beloved, be encouraged. He's still praying for you. He's still praying for you. Hebrews 7:25, he always lives to make intercession for them, for the believers, for his children. Romans 8:33-34. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Do you think about that, dear believer? That Jesus prays for you. He prays for you. Don't let his faith fail. Keep him. Keep him. He prays. He prays that you'll be holy. Prays for mercy. Robert Murray McShane said, "If I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies." Can you imagine that? If I could hear him pray, if I could hear Jesus pray for me, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. He is praying for me. Dear believer, if you are at the end of your rope, if you're at the end of your hope, if you are downcast and discouraged and you are about ready to give up, cry out to Jesus, "Oh Lord Jesus, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for what I need. Please intercede. I need you. I need you to change me. I need you to help me. I need you to go before the Father and pray." Jesus is praying for his people. And he will never stop. He will never stop. Charles Wesley wrote the words of this hymn, 5 bleeding wounds he bears. Received on Calvary, they pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. "Forgive him, oh forgive," they cry. "Forgive him, oh forgive," they cry. "Nor let that ransomed sinner die." He is praying for you, beloved, and he will never let you go. And the Father will never let you go. And the Spirit will never let you go. And therefore we pray. We want to spend time with him. We want to talk with him who loved us So that's what you do when you love somebody. You love to talk to them, to be with them, to spend time with them. Jesus Christ prayed with greatest devotion. Through blood, sweat, and tears, he cried with emotion, then suffered God's wrath to that lowest demotion, yet rose from the dead, setting new life in motion. Now all our sins are cast deep in the ocean. So we pray to our Father with joyful devotion. Father, we praise you for what you've done for us. We praise you, Lord Jesus, that you have died for our sins and risen from the dead, that all our sins are cast behind your back and you remember them no more. Lord, we praise you for your Spirit that has quickened our hearts, that's given us a desire for you. And we pray, Lord, that you would help all of us to desire you more, to love you more, to pursue you more in prayer, to be desperate, God. Show us how desperate we are and move us to pray like we're desperate. And so, God, help us all. Help us as a church to grow in prayer. May we learn to pray together more faithfully here on Sunday mornings. May we meet together on Wednesday night and pursue you in prayer together. May we be praying individually. May we be praying at meetings that we have together. God, may we be people of prayer and devote ourselves to prayer. And we ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen.